Through you, Mr. Mayor, I can actually answer that. What's happened is that we've changed KPIs in the last 6 months, and so that's actually contributed to that. But the main reason is that the financials haven't been able to be reported, and it's no fault of anybody's on the Finance Committee, but until the December quarter. So the corporate reporting team, Catherine Johnson, Michelle Stewart, haven't been able to provide it until now. Yeah, that's it.
If I could fire away with another question, it's in relation to the major capital works. Now, are staff willing to take on board the concept that you don't add them together? In other words, a major capital work is a project that is going to cost more than $4 million. It would include Edwardstown, it would include Mitchell Park. It wouldn't include four different $1 million projects.
Yep, that's correct. Okay.
Thanks for the clarification. I'm sure, I draw the attention to members, bottom of page 343. In that period, zero workplace injuries. That's an excellent result. And then the other thing I wanted to question Mr. Scull about was, say, page 346, page 347, where we're measuring against our adopted plans, and the report reads as if staff are paying absolutely no regard to the community plan or council plan. So could that be explained, please?
I've talked again. I've got a long response on this one from the corporate reporting team. But the truth is we do have a plan. We have a 2040 plan, and then we have the council plan 2010-2020. They're working on the premise that we were going to be talking about and delivering on a four-year plan, but of course that hasn't been, the 10-year plan hasn't been cancelled, I can't think of a better word, and also the three and four-year plan that we discussed last week hasn't been put to council, so that key performance indicator needs to be populated, and we will be doing that and get it back to council. I apologise for that. Truth is, we've got a plan. The truth is, though, we're not working to it, and that's why I've been pushing to get a three or a three-and-a-half-year plan we talked about on Saturday.
Well, with the indulgence of council, I must just say something about red lights then. If there was any sense of reluctance to put a red light next to indicators, I would like to say that red lights are actually fine, because it's really saying, have a look at this, we're not meeting a target, but there might be a really good reason for it, there might be a good explanation for it, but at least bring it to our attention. But rather than, there shouldn't be any sense of avoiding a result that might give a red flag. You know, I hope staff feel comfortable doing that, because that is acting with authenticity and integrity, and it allows us to take appropriate action. Okay, so I've probably gone on too far already. Councillor Telfer. It's all right, this is to do with the organisational KPIs. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, can I suggest a couple of amendments to page 345? The bottom of the page, indoor basketball stadium. My recollection is it's an indoor multi-purpose stadium, and I don't believe the Football Federation of South Australia, aka soccer, are actually putting forward a business plan to open that stadium.
Well, could I have advice? I know that's been clarified in emails just in the past 24 hours as well. But of course, we shouldn't leave the report as it is without that comment being incorporated in some way. What is the recommendation of staff as to how that's fixed? Right, so thanks, Ms. McKenzie. Ms. McKenzie is advising that we add suitable wording that Councillor Crossland or any other member wishes to add with any amendments we think should occur to the body of the report. So, Councillor Crossland, could you just repeat that for the benefit of the scribe?
So, the bottom of page 345, point number 4, should read indoor multipurpose stadium. And I believe it's a cut and paste error with the remark after item 4, because I don't believe the Football Federation of South Australia are working with council on developing that indoor stadium.
It should be multi-purpose indoor recreation centre. Yeah, sure. Mr. Stoll?
Through the Chair, if I could make a suggestion, I'd like to bring back KPIs 6 and 7 against the 10-year plan. I'm not sure if there'll be a red line. I think certainly that on quite a few of those items on that 10-year plan there would be green and orange lights. But perhaps we bring back this quarterly performance report at the next council meeting and amend it as appropriate. And I really, it's just about performance indicator 5, 6 and 7.
We haven't had anyone move yet, so perhaps would members prefer that we defer this one to the next meeting and it can come back in an amended form with those bits tidied up. It's going to look a lot neater all round. Councillor Crossland is moving to defer.
Deferment to the next council meeting, please.
Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood, all those in favour, all those against, that's carried unanimously. Okay, thanks. Well, look, I mean, the way I look at it, we're working as a team to get there. Staff and elected members, we both have our contribution to make. Now, page 348, finance report. Councillor Telfer to ask a question.
It's done. I guess I'm looking for whether there is a level of concern about that diagram on 358 to do with roads, or whether, even though it looks out of kilter, it's fine.
Through the Mayor, I'm actually delighted by that result because it means we're well in front of our program work schedule for the roads, and it's going to mean, I'm hoping that we're going to be taking up a lot of the slack on the carryovers as well, because we're well in front of the projected, in fact we're 1, 2, 3, 4 months in front. I don't know if I'm correct on that, Mr. Misford, but I think it's a great result.
So then what does it mean 31% complete and on track?
Through the Chair, the 31% complete and on track means that 31% of the capital works program for roads have been completed to date. As Mr. Scull has highlighted, the fact that we're ahead on the other ones means we've already got purchase orders in for the works of other roads that are programmed to occur. So at this point in time, things are looking quite positive.
Thank you. And I'll share with members that I inquired of Mr. Mifsud about loans, because the way this finance report is set out, it's not inaccurate, but it refers to the loans for the Cove Civic Centre and the City Depot. And I asked the question, well, how much is our current outstanding? And also, if we keep going as we're going without borrowing more than we've budgeted, where will we end up, bearing in mind that originally the previous council had committed us to borrowing up to $25 million for those capital ventures. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Mifsud, but I think the reply was $11 to $12 million debt at present, and if we keep going on the present course, which has a host of assumptions in it, would be about $19 to $20 million. So we won't need to borrow as much as the previous council thought we would need to borrow to get those jobs finished. Did you wish to add anything to that, Mr. Mifsud?
Through the chair, that's absolutely right, Mayor Hannah.
Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, I hear what the CEO says about the road projects being ahead of schedule, and I do welcome that as well, because it's around about this time of the year that I, members would remember, that I raise concerns about the council not being able to fulfil our requests in the budget. Now, that's actually come home to roost, because in the previous item there was only one red light, and that related to what I'm talking about, because part of that budget excess relates to the fact that we didn't actually expend all the money in the budget to get works done. Part of it. Not all of it, but part of it. So, you know, it's now realised and understood by us, I think, what I've been talking about for a while now. And, you know, when I was a new councillor, the alderman got me aside and told me that's what I should be keeping an eye on. Now, this is probably the first time where it's really been a big issue. Some might think it's a great thing to actually have so much money in excess, but the reality is that there's an inherent message in there that is not good. We need to keep an eye on this now. We're about halfway through the year, the financial year. We need to keep an eye on this to make sure that the trajectories actually are consistent with what we actually wanted to happen. So I think for the next 6 months, we'll be keeping an eye on this very closely.
Councillor, were you moving the motion?
I'm happy to do that.
Yeah. Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood? Any further discussion? I do have another question. On page 353, I just didn't understand the bottom paragraph. A net cash deficit of $90,000 is forecast to occur in 2015-16, of which $401,000 relates to budget adjustments funded from savings, which results in an underlying funding surplus of $311,000. Now, is that saying it was going to be a net cash deficit, but because of $401,000 unspent, it'll actually be a $311,000 surplus? I mean, is that basically it?
Yep. Through the chair, yes, you're quite right, Mayor Hannah. As a result of councils, a handful of council motions prior to the conclusion of the last financial year, members would recall that you approved $401,000 worth of funding towards a number of relatively small endorsed projects from the savings that we were forecasting to come through the audited accounts. So yes, you're quite right.
And if I could go to page 354, the next page, about three quarters of the way down, refers to share of profit, the Regional Waste Authority that we talked about earlier. It's got a $315,000 figure. So what's that?
Thanks for that question. That's a very good point. So under equity accounting, as one of the constituent councils who owns 30% of SWARA, we have to equity account for SWARA's financial results each year. So that's our equity accounting share. It doesn't represent cash. It's just an accounting transaction that represents our 30% share of SWARA for that for this budgeted year.
I see. Let mean, it's probably a discussion for another time, but the whole idea of a carryovers reserve, whereby if money's not spent, as we expected, on infrastructure, goes into a pot, which is then reallocated the next year. Can I ask you, Mr. Mifsud, the other way of doing it would be for that budgeted money simply to be a zero balance at the end of the year. So whatever's not spent goes back to zero, and then you budget for whatever you think you're going to, the work you're going to do the following year, rather than having that reserve, because it would be a non-cash reserve, wouldn't it?
Through the chair, it is actually a cash reserve that's required to be taken up, just once again purely from an accounting treatment point of view, which effectively in simple terms just transfers those funds that were approved by council towards designated capital works to be moved into the next financial year. However, one of the points you touch on there, you're quite right. If we're able to identify early enough in a particular financial year that for whatever reason a particular job is not going to be able to be commenced before the conclusion of the financial year, yes, it can be retimed. Whilst that's different terminology to what you just used, it would achieve the same effect, which would then retime it into the future financial period. So that's quite acceptable, and we endeavour to do that as much as possible wherever we can to mitigate the level of carryovers, amongst other things.
So if I could put this another way, what is the policy setting for the use of that carryovers reserve? Is it necessarily used for infrastructure the next year, or what?
Good question, so through the chair. Effectively, those funds have been specifically committed through the annual business plan and budget process to those particular capital works programs. So those funds are carried over specifically for those programs.
Your Worship, I move we extend the meeting by 15 minutes. I think it's about to expire.
Yes, all right, I'll accept that. Is that seconded? Councillor Filescu, all those in favour? All those against? Oh, it's carried by a majority. Councillor Pfeiffer?
Sorry, Your Worship, point of order. I think we only ever changed the starting time and not the finish time.
Ms. McKenzie?
Through the chair, the meeting procedures say that the meeting will finish at 9:30 now.
There's still an ongoing issue about potential contamination from the industrial area just to the south of that site. Renewal SA aren't allowed to do any building or any work on that site until such time as any clean-up has been ordered from the organisation that they claim has actually had some spillage, and they operated on that site. In short, is that area is cordoned off by from Renewal SA's operation completely.
Very well. We move to page 365, Councillor Gard's question about accident and incident data. I simply note that the answer doesn't really deal with the assault part of the question, and I'd invite Councillor Gard in conjunction with staff to refer to the Office of Crime Statistics or whatever it's called now in the Attorney General's Department, or indeed SAPOL, who might have relevant assault data. Councillor Gard, did you wish to say anything further?
If I may, Your Worship, the main point here was to try and get more of a handle on our planning aspects, particularly for roads, even though the incidence of assault is just as important from the point of view of planning. but in a different way.
Sure.
I was hoping we might create some sort of opportunity to improve our planning method if we had those stats, but perhaps there is another way in any case.
Well, I'll leave it to you to pursue it later on. Good point.
Thank you.
So now, Councillor, we note Councillor Appleby's question and the answer to it about the NRM board. Councillor Appleby, I hope you'll make a lot from those answers because they're pretty staggering. And the first thing I thought of was Glenthorne and the fact that we should be... I mean, with the money that we've paid into the NRM board, we could have purchased Glenthorne outright for ourselves. And yet, you know, they're off doing something else with it. So there's something to be said for that. Incidentally, Mr. Scull's been pursuing meetings with the Premier's Chief of Staff, which have fallen through, shall we say, a couple of times, and now Mr. Scull's been referred to one of the planning chiefs to discuss Glenthorne, just as a matter of updating. Page 367, Councillor Crossland's question... Oh, it's motion, rather, about the annual business plan and budget preparation. Councillor Crossland to move.
I'd like to move it as printed with the comments already there. I assume people have read. The intention of this is to provide a written answer and a more detailed comparison with our neighbouring councils. So that when we do have residents question the rates they pay, at least we have an official document that we can actually refer them to or send to them.
Councillor Blescu?
Second. I think that explanation, and I've had residents that moved into the area that queried it, and I gave them a brief overview, touching on some of the points that were brought up over the weekend. And it's very helpful. I think most people can then accept it. I think it's very valuable.
Very well. The only thing I'd add is, and this has been part of our overall discussions and discussions I've had with finance people as well, that the G5 councils, other than Adelaide, probably serve a fairer comparison with our own rate in the dollar and operating expenditure, but there's no reason why we can't talk about adding that administratively to get an additional comparison. But that doesn't detract from what's in the motion, it possibly adds to it. I'll put the motion then. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. It's carried by majority. I beg your pardon. Page 369. Councillor Crossland to move.
I'd like to propose an amendment which has been emailed to staff, and just an explanation of the amendment. It was emailed around. When the original motion was put forward, I was under the misinformation that this had to go through the budget review process, as that had been something we'd discussed previously. In fact, this is using our Community Facilities Partnership Fund, which is actually a budgeted item and is for this very reason. When clubs put forward an amount of money to upgrade or renew their facility, in keeping with the parameters of that fund, Cove Sports have now successfully obtained a federal grant for $20,000. They've also saved $5,000 towards the completion of the balcony, which has been an ongoing issue. We're at the stage now where recently the old committee, as you heard on Saturday, has resigned at the recent AGM. We now have a brand new committee. We heard during the AGM that the club are still struggling to get support from the community to use that function room. It is fairly daggy and uninviting. The provision of the balcony, in my view, will assist in making that a usable function room, make it a lot more modern. It will allow viewing of soccer and BMX, and hopefully will encourage people to use the facility, not just for consumption of alcohol.
Thank you. Now, just ask for clarification, because my understanding of the Community Partnerships Fund, whatever it's called, is that it does allow the partnering funding, and Mr. Mitchell did advise me today that it doesn't necessarily have to be dollar for dollar. It can be whatever we think is appropriate partnering. But the point is, it's still, whatever expenditure it is still subject to council approval. So it's not automatic. It's still our decision. So I think the, if you like, the policy approach we have to using the funds is really unresolved. We've talked about asset sustainability, we've talked about other funds, general budget funds. We haven't really specifically dealt with this issue. As I understood it, there was the Valescu Amendment, which meant that this particular fund could be used for our major projects. And so that seemed to be straightforward. But using it for the maintenance and renewal for the other community facilities, we haven't really talked about. So I just raise that as an issue, and maybe whatever happens with the motion tonight, maybe we just need to clarify what are the ground rules for that.
In response, yes, you're correct. Councillor Valescu widened the use of these funds. However, the original intention of the funds remains and exists now. They weren't removed, so
yes,
it still is for that very reason. We're just trying to get more clubs to actually make use of those funds, because previously there's been very little use. In fact, a lot of clubs didn't realise this fund existed.
Sure. Mr. Mitchell, can you just advise on the use of that fund, like on the as it was before the Valescu Amendment, and as it continues, what did staff envisage the process was if somebody came up with an application?
Through the Chair, it's a very good question. So certainly prior to the so-called Valescu Amendment that came to fruition early mid-last year, basically the program was established in line with the email which I sent through to members this afternoon, which basically was encouraging clubs at the larger facilities, or hub facilities as they were previously known, to seek partnership opportunities with council. And you're quite right, it's not necessarily 50-50, but it needs to be something that's considered reasonable by council. And there were actually quite a large number of assessment criteria or eligibility criteria that needed to be reviewed at that time, albeit administratively, with the intention of a potential partnership proposal being brought through to council for council's approval. So those original eligibility criteria, I think it would be prudent that council continue to consider those, but you're absolutely right. The bottom line is any decision for funding partnerships must be approved by council.
Well, next question would be, when I look at the five-line report or comments from staff, why don't they refer to the criteria for use of the fund?
Through the Chair, that's a very good point. There should have been further detail provided by myself in this instance. However, the bottom line is there should have been further details provided.
Okay, as long as councillors are sure that they're meeting the criteria. Now, Councillor Valescu, you're speaking in seconding.
Yes. Yeah. Look, I think this is the opportunity. The fund was originally established because we would have a shortfall in the maintenance and possibly upgrade a little bit of all our council facilities. And that's why we went to the hub thinking, oh, well, if we have them all in one place, then we won't need to worry about the other things. That didn't happen to the same extent we wanted. But we also thought that by attracting other funding, we don't have to pay for all the maintenance. So the reason I'm comfortable with this is because it is some maintenance, something that needs to be done, some improvement, and you've pretty much got the majority, you've got almost half provided from external sources. I do believe that some of the earlier grants we actually provided less than half, and they were larger amounts. So that's something to keep in mind if people are thinking, well, hold on, it's not half. in the past we have actually given less than half where the clubs have been quite successful in attracting external funding. So I'm happy to support this. In support of Mr. Mifsud, I think there was a little bit of ambiguity about the process, so the staff went down a different tack, so therefore they weren't able to go through those criteria. And we did have those discussions with Mr. Mifsud about where this sort of fitted in, and hence there was a change. So in future, I'm sure that council will have all that information at their fingertips for the criteria, not just for making this decision, but also to know how what to support our local ward organisations to be able to access this where appropriate.
Thank you. And just a report that's just come to hand. There was some discussion with the new president of the Cove Sports Club just today, and the suggestion was made that we might be able to help the sports club by providing an interim manager, given that their manager for 3 years had recently resigned, and they've stood by the previous manager, keeping him as the interim manager, very keen to keep him on. I'm not saying that's in any way related to the hostility that members of council experience when they attend meetings of the Cove Sports Club, but I just thought I'd add that information so that you're well across the topic. Councillor Byram.
Can I move?
Well, no, actually you can't. You've already spoken. Councillor Byram. I've given Councillor Byram the call.
Yeah, well, I'll call for an extension of time and then go on to my next question.
Seconded, yes, Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour? Until when, by the way?
How much time do we need?
Oh, about an hour to finish this, I should think.
Until the item's finished.
Thank you. All those in favour, did I vote? Did they vote? All those against, yeah, it's carried. By majority, it's carried.
Yeah.
Councillor Byram, you may continue to speak.
The item or all the items?
The items, all the items.
It was carried by majority.
Yes. So I have a question,
please,
Your Worship. And through the chair to Ms Dixon, I think she might be able to answer this question. It's on the quote for this work on the balcony. Have we actually seen the quote and has this been verified?
Through the chair, we had original finances when back in December 2014 when council gave landlord consent, and that was with the builders who were doing the works for stage one. My understanding is we sought clarification on that the amount that the club was seeking was sufficient. It is lower than the indication that we had with the quotes that we received from the builders during that time. So, but my understanding is the discussions that they've had with, I think it's Councillor Crossland, that amount is sufficient for the works.
If I may further, Your Worship. Yes, that's not really the question. I understand what the previous one was. I would like to know that this is a bona fide quote. And who is given the quote?
Through the chair, I haven't seen that quote, no.
Just a correction, please. Can we call the club Cove Sports and Community Club, please? That's the correct name. Thank you. That's all.
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to speak against this motion. I'm just being consistent. The councillors down south were told in the last council term, Councillor Spears and Connor, that I will not provide any money to this horrible building. It's been identified in reports that it's not going to serve the community well into the future. It's got all sorts of inadequacies. In the north of the city, we've identified two sites, Edwardstown and Mitchell Park, for the major sporting complexes. It is actually very sad for the people down south that in the past council, and now I'm seeing it happening again in this council, that the ward councillors are just going to continue to throw good money after bad at a building that's not going to cut it. My hand will go up. If you were to put a proposal up that you needed $8 million, my hand will go up. I told Connor and Spears this in the last term. Nothing has changed, but I'm reluctant to throw good money after bad on a crappy building that's not going to actually cut it into the future. That site is not, we all know that site's not suitable. It's not going to be able to meet the needs of the community going forward. Why spend more money on it? I oppose the last stage one. I oppose that for the same reasons. Don't take this personally. It's just me being consistent. And, you know, back in 2000 in the mayoral contest, they had me down there, walked me around the site. And I said to them, I said, look, this is just nonsense. This is a terrible building. It needs to be replaced. Here I am years and years later saying the same thing and actually prepared to put my hand up and vote for it, throw money at it to actually provide some equity. I'm starting to get a bit concerned about the lack of equity in the community when we're doing two major facilities in the north of the city and we're piddling around with stuff like this on a building that's not up to it. I really urge you to get together with Mr. Spears or anybody else who's prepared to listen and start talking about a proper site for us to invest in down there. No more money from me, not that you got any last time, but you know, I'm prepared to spend a lot of money down there if you provide the site and the capacity of the government to actually allow it to happen. There's plenty of room down there. I can't get it that you can't get your government officials to actually get together with you guys and identify a site and come up with something decent. But I'm sorry, I don't want to deny you amenity, but you can do a whole lot better, and I can put quite a number of zeros on these figures and put my hand up gladly if I know it's actually going to go to a good thing.
Okay, now I certainly see some value in what Councillor Hull was saying. I was treasurer down there for a couple of years, from about 2005. There's a technical word here that the building is fairly crappy, but at the moment they seem to be so desperate to get the standard of the facility to some kind of acceptable level that I was happy to see that the change rooms and toilets have been fixed to a fair, reasonable degree, and now this balcony, which probably won't be there forever, because I do believe the whole facility does need changing. I agree with Councillor Hull on that. But for the time being, they're so desperate that I think they really need to have that extension. So I will support it. Thank you.
Before we actually put an amount up, I would like us to qualify where we got that quote, whether because we have had some trouble in the past where wrong quotes were given, and it's not a good process. So whether the... Okay. All right. That's fine. All right. That's fine. I'm not aware of it, so...
Just in closing, thank you very much, and I do appreciate Councillor Hall's remarks. I know he said he would only fund one sports hub north and one south. He's obviously going to have to choose one north. I haven't got an alternative for him south at the moment, so, and I wish I could say I had some land identified that was already available. Realistically, in the short term of this council, I am not going to find an alternative for a complete new multi-million-dollar sports hub for every sport. And In addition to that, I'm not sure I should be looking for a completely new sports hub when for a number of the sports there, the facilities there are quite usable, and the club room just needs this additional balcony to try and make the facility more of a community use, in addition to the fact that we play sport there. The long-term view of that is that if we can get more people using and hiring that facility, that is less money down the track that young people and people using the facility will have to pay just to play sport. That being said, I note the concerns raised regarding the quotation. There was a quotation a lot higher than that originally. I saw a quotation for $57,000. At the end of the day, I put up to $30,000, which actually, if they've got the $57,000 quote, they're still $2,000 short. I'm sorry, they'll have to find any additional money. If the quote they finally get is $60,000, then they'll have to find that money. The way I understand council works is that unless they get the invoice that proves the money that was spent on the balcony, they won't get the $30,000 anyway. And if it costs more, this resolution is up to $30,000, so they can't ask for more. And I'm happy for staff to correct that if I'm incorrect.
I think there's probably groups in our community that need space. We have space, commercial space, which people that want to invest money in our city have complained to me about. It brings down the tenor of the city. If we are looking to see ourselves as a bit of an investment hub, we don't want people to sort of have to come towards Tonsley and see weeds growing in a car yard, graffiti all over other various commercial ventures. So if there is something that can be done that we can look at to actually use those spaces in the meantime, do it in a way that doesn't discourage the businesses to actually take ownership of their land and do something with it. But if there are periods, for example, 6-12 months when the businesses, it's been empty for a long time, is there something else we can do? I think Adelaide's done a bit of a renew thing. I'd probably want to look at a renewed light, but I think that it is a positive step for using that space, and I think it'll lift the tenor of our city. So that's why I've asked for a report. I haven't put a time frame in there. I'm happy for the time frames provided, and we can look at our options. And if any councillors have any ideas, please shoot them forward to the appropriate manager, which I believe would be Fiona Harvey or Neil McNish. And I think it'd be a real benefit. Thank you.
Are there any particular sites that we're referring to? Like, I'm hoping one of them would be Scorpos's. That would be an interesting one to look at. But Councillor Appleby's favourite site. So, is there a price tag attached with this, Mr. Mayor, in terms of how much this venture might cost? So I've seen some investigation costs quite a lot of money here at times.
Yeah, I just question if this would be better placed as something for consideration either by the Strategy Committee or the Urban Planning Committee at this stage.
Look, I understand Scorpos has been going for a long time. There are some other sensitivities, I believe, but they have been going on for a while. But I deliberately chose not to sort of single out that site. I think there's a few in my ward, a few across from my ward, and there's probably other places as well. In regards to Stratcom, this is really small fry. I think this is something we can look at some ideas. I think we've got we can do a lot more, and I look forward to people's contributions to that. And I've taken notes from Saturday, so this is just a few little bits and pieces. The Stratcom is going to be looking at the big picture, and I've got some exciting ideas of things that have been done in different municipalities in Australia and in America. So watch this space.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. If members will recall that on the 12th of May there was a resolution that was passed to close down the nursery operations. Subsequent to that, a dispute was called by the AWU. It went to the Commission. We've had, long story short here, but we've had some recommendations that in order to resolve this issue, what the City of Marion must do is, and it's on page 374, educate and debrief elected members, which has occurred on Saturday, conduct a briefing with senior leadership team about the circumstances leading to the issue and where improvements can be made, which I did yesterday, and then comply with the consultation, basically the consultation requirements of the EB when making a decision. I have the legal advice here, which I can give out to members confidentially, which actually was provided to the organisation just after the 12th of May motion. And if I can read out a couple of really pertinent points in this, because it's a good lesson for all of us, I think. The council makes decisions for the CEO to enact, and those directives, when carried out, must be reasonable and lawful. Council's decision on the 12th of May triggered the enterprise agreement because it had significant effect on nursery staff. Staff must be given relevant information about proposed changes that have a significant effect on them prior to any final decision being made. They must be allowed an opportunity to contribute to the decision-making process if a change is made that it significantly impacts their job. What I found really useful is the closing comment of the advice, and I'm happy to give it out, is that consultation isn't just about advice, but about what is to happen, but the giving of a genuine opportunity to the person concerned to influence the decision maker. What the legal advice says is that immediately council needed to actually start consultation, and if anything came up in that consultation, that we would have had to come back to council and say to council, you need to take into consideration the staff members' views. That consultation, by the legal advice, did actually happen, but basically what the commission has said to us is that in any future situation where council is going to make a decision that has a significant effect on a staff member's job, that before anything happens, we have to go to the staff members and have discussions about that so they have an opportunity to actually put a case forward. It may be that they can provide a better way to achieve the outcome that's being sought out because they do the job themselves. So that's basically it. This is an update, and we go back to the Commission on the 2nd of February, and what I'll be doing is letting the AWU organiser know that this is what we've done. The council has been briefed on the requirements that we have under the enterprise agreement to consult.
Questions?
Councillor Kerry? So far, has that legal advice cost us and the entire case?
Through the chair, councillor, I don't know, but I'll take it on notice and let you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Councillor Westwood.
You're moving as printed. Thank you. Councillor Valescu.
Just quickly, I guess I hope we learn from that and nothing like this happens. Obviously, when the decision was being made, we weren't aware of that consideration. And HR can be quite a bit of a minefield. So, this isn't good. Obviously, it's taken away time and resources. I think ultimately this... I don't know how it's impacted staff. Hopefully it hasn't been a negative thing. But I think that, I wouldn't want something like this to ever come up again. And I hope, we learn from that and get that support in our decision-making.
Councillor Hull.
Mr Mayor, as you would remember, I spoke quite vocally about the council's position on this. I could see it was wrong. Nobody else could. Now we're here, we have a leak.
Councillor Kerry was backing you at the time, actually.
Oh, yeah, of course. When I said nobody else could, I was referring more to the administration and a fairly vitriolic acting CEO put me down big time, as I remember. And now we find out the legal advice had those cautionary words in there, and the administration chose to even ignore that. So they not only heard it from some of their elected members, but they even heard it from their own legal advice and still chose to ignore it and take us down this pathway that's cost us a mozza, right? And not only cost us a mozza, but it's also cost us a reputation in terms of our ongoing arrangements with the staff. Trust, the big T. Trust has been diminished because an enterprise agreement is exactly that. It's an agreement. And we have been tagged as not being able to actually commit and follow through with an agreement. What I would like to see, Mr Mayor, is two things. That we actually take off the confidentiality ruling on the previous time this came up. It's still confidential. That needs to be lifted. Because Councillor Kerry and I can be at least seen as doing the right thing by our workforce. And the other thing is, maybe we need to apologise to our workforce about our lacklustre ways.
So, Councillor Hull, you're moving an amendment which would release the confidentiality order in respect of the August debate and minutes. I've got a motion. Seconded by Councillor Kerry. I'll put the amendment. Sorry? It was a question. So that was seconded, Councillor Kerry, the amendment. Order. When an amendment is moved and seconded, it should be put immediately. Isn't that right, Councillor Appleby? Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Yeah, no, fair point.
Am I able to ask a question?
Question, Councillor Crossland?
Are staff able to supply a copy of the report we're actually wanting to consider and lift the confidentiality on it before we vote?
If you have I don't know if you have access to it on your iPad, but it was, I think, August 12th, probably the first meeting in August this 2015. Is there a reference to it? Mr. Skull would like to say something?
Through the chair, if I can, in answer to Councillor Crossland's question, basically nearly everything that I've got in this report is what the original report from Mr. Lindsay actually had. And if I may say as well that the Commission is not saying that we did anything wrong. The Commission is saying that we just could do things a little bit better. So it's not that actually we've done anything wrong, because it's just that the order of the consultation with staff should have come before the final decision to to close the nursery. When the discussions were held with staff, though, there was no pressing argument put up to make any change. And I'd just like to say as well that the two staff members have been redeployed into other parts of the organisation, and they're happy, and thank goodness.
Well, while that's happening, I'd like to apologise from the chair to Councillor Hull, because I do remember that debate very well. And Councillor Hull was insisting that we see the relevant terms of the EBA, for example, and I quite clearly said we don't need to do that because we've had an assurance from staff that the consultation took place. Now, in terms of the EBA, it had not. It had not. We made the council resolution was the final decision, and we consulted after that. Quite clearly, the EBA is saying you consult with staff so that their input might have some influence, potentially, on the decision maker, which was council. As soon as staff became aware of Councillor Crossland's motion, there should have been a consultation process and we should have been advised of what was required. That did not occur. So, you know, I know that we are repeatedly as councillors being asked to trust the staff, but I must say I feel extremely uncomfortable when I've been put in a position where I've been relying on staff and taken a heavy-handed approach with one of the councillors who turned out to be absolutely right and vindicated by what's come to light. Anyway, I'm just filling in time while that's put up. The previous report in August 2015, you could add that, I'm pretty sure it was. So that's the amendment, and we haven't voted on the amendment yet. So you've got sort of that you're hanging them both together, Councillor Hull. That's fine. So are we finished? Is it in order that you want? Mr. Scull.
Through the chair, it's a difficult one to answer because they could take that as an admission that consultation didn't happen, whereas we've actually said to them that it did happen, it was just the timing of it. So they... That's correct, and I acknowledge that. And I just think that I'd be a bit concerned with that.
Yeah, Mr. Scull, this scenario came up previously when Councillor Hull was invited to apologise to former Councillor Allen, and Councillor Hull's lawyer was extremely cagey about approving any apology because it might be seen as some admission. That's a recent case that people can probably relate to. So that could potentially harm council's interests. Anyway, are you happy with the wording? I would stress something that Mr. Scull said, that you know the staff were redeployed and by all accounts are happy in their new role. So that... Yeah, okay. Well, you move whatever you want, you know. Well, sorry, are you, Councillor Hull, are you seeking leave of the meeting to withdraw your part two? Yeah. It's a yes or a no, really. It's a yes. Does the seconder agree? So is there leave of the meeting to delete the second part? Anyone object? All right, so there's point one. We're just dealing with the confidentiality order. Leave was granted. I'll put the motion. Sorry, there's a question, Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Worship. I just have some concerns that we're jumping in and we haven't got stuff in front of us. We're talking about a confidentiality order that we can't see at the moment.
No, this is a matter of debate. Do you have a question?
That's the question. Are we able to really do this? Are we in a point of, you know, are we doing the wrong thing at the moment by
not seeing it
in front of us?
That is a matter of debate.
I'm posing it as a question.
How can we do this? It's not really the sort of question that questions are for, if you see what I mean. Councillor Westwood?
Staff advice.
It was along similar lines.
Okay. Councillor Hutchinson?
Point of order. Council doesn't have enough information to make the decision.
Yes.
I don't think that's a point of order. No. I've overruled the point of order. Councillor Telfer? Councillor Telfer, I'll take that as a point of order because I think that's just a recording point. Councillor Hull intended the revocation of the confidentiality to be in addition to the usual. I mean, usually the amendment is an additional point. That's the way I took it, but it just needs to be reflected on the screen that way. So, but nonetheless... So that point of order is accepted, but I think it was a recording error. Councillor Pfeiffer, did you have a question or a point of order?
Mine was spot on, exactly the same as Councillor Telfer.
Okay. We can now put the amendment. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against. The amendment is lost. We're now dealing with the original motion. Contributions may be made from those who haven't spoken before. So Appleby.
I'll just move the motion. The original one.
No. The motion is there. It's been moved and seconded.
Okay, sorry.
Is there any further contribution to debate? Councillor Costland, I'm not sure. Have you? You're good. Good to go.
Close the debate. Close the. Thank you. Right. Well, I do feel at the time that I was being guided by senior staff. I have to mention that. So that being so, now that's all past us, I hope, and I'm sure it is, and we're on to a new page. So, but we should recognise that a lot of us, if not all of us, were being guided at the time by senior staff, and it was erroneous. Thank you.